My guest at this time is Andrew C. McCarthy. He's a former United States attorney. He is now with National Review and is the author most recently of Faithless Execution. He's also written recently for National Review about the ongoing tension between the FBI and the Justice Department about what will be the legal outcome for Hillary Clinton as a result of the classified, top secret, and very secret materials contained on her unsecured server. On Friday, we hear from the State Department that it will not release 22 emails from Hillary Clinton's account saying they are top secret and can't be released. At the same time, the White House is saying that it doesn't appear that the Justice Department investigation will end up with an indictment. And Andy, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg. Good to talk to you.
Let's start with the State Department. What do you make of the fact that given that there has already been a lot of emails released, redacted in some cases, of course, that have contained classified material, that the State Department is setting these 22 aside and won't release them at all?
Yeah, this is very telling because, as you point out, they've already released about, I think, close to 1,400 emails in redacted form. In other words, they took the position that there was a lot on these emails that would be dangerous to national security if it were publicized, but that it wasn't so damaging, that is, the emails in totality, that they couldn't at least release parts of them. With respect to these 22, they're actually having a blanket prohibition on disclosure. And the reason is, obviously, that they fear that there are other copies of these emails out there, and that if they release any part of them, whoever may have those emails will basically have it confirmed to them that you're dealing with a very top secret, as they call it, SAP or Special Access Program, national security intelligence matter. And when that kind of stuff gets revealed, and people work backwards or go to school on the information that's out there, that can result not only in the compromise of important sources of intelligence, but also even in the potentially the killing of people who are spies or covert informants. So that's stuff that they take very seriously, and for that reason, they're obviously not releasing them.
Andy, we've already got, as you mentioned, 1,300 or 1,400 emails that have been released but had classified parts redacted. So the fact that there are these 22 that won't be released at all, does that change the dynamics of the investigation?
It makes it even more serious than it seemed to be before. I mean, in terms of legal liability, what we already knew from the 1,300 or 1,400 that we'd previously known about was that there was classified information on them, that a lot of these emails were, as they say, born classified. That is, that the information that was in them, it would be obvious to anybody who's trained in intelligence and classified matters that information was classified and should not be removed from its secure place within the government. That would have been enough easily to trigger prosecution under the statutes that govern this. These new revelations about these 22 make that problem, I think, even more serious. But they don't change the dimension, the nature of it, so much as they change the dimension of the seriousness.
The Clinton campaign has responded to this news from the State Department in a way that might surprise some. And Brian Fallon, the spokesman, essentially saying, "Hey, we're all about transparency. I can't believe the State Department would do this. We oppose this decision." What do you make of that tactic?
Well, I think as a candidate, I think it makes it even less appropriate for her to be given a high, higher position of public trust. I mean, if the intelligence community is making a determination that releasing this information would be harmful to national security, for somebody who is running for president to say, "Oh, well, we'd like it out there anyway," I think is very troubling, to say the least.
Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, there's been some chatter, I guess, in the White House briefing room today about the administration not believing that the Justice Department's investigation, which I guess is separate at this point from the FBI investigation, does not appear to be headed towards an indictment. What do you make of that sort of public statement while the investigation is still going on? And is that basically a political sign from the White House that nothing's going to happen here?
Well, I wouldn't put much stock in what Josh Earnest said today. I mean, to begin with, one of the things he said was that they understand that she's not even the target or subject of an investigation from. And they, I think he purported to glean that from press reports of what the Justice Department has said. As I pointed out in a column about a week ago, of course she's not the subject of an investigation because right now the Justice Department is not really participating in the investigation as if it were a criminal case, and they haven't convened a grand jury. I think most people don't realize what these terms of art mean. But when someone is a subject of a grand, of an investigation, that means they're the subject of a grand jury investigation. It means the grand jury is considering their conduct and making a decision about whether to bring charges or not. If you don't have a grand jury, it's pointless to be talking about subjects in, of an investigation. So I think that's kind of just a little misdirection by the White House. I think also the president has to walk a fine line here because I think he does not want to appear to be interfering with the FBI's investigation. If that's the case, the political parts of the government, including the White House and the White House staff, shouldn't know what's going on in the Justice Department's investigation. I think, you know, obviously if we get to the point where the former Secretary of State has crossed the line into what the Justice Department assesses to be indictable territory, it would be incumbent on the Attorney General to let the president know that. But the political parts of the government are not supposed to be monitoring the progress of what's supposed to be an apolitical investigation by the FBI. So I wouldn't put too much stock in anything the White House said.
Real quickly, and obviously it's probably tough to get a real good handle on this from the outside, but given the political dynamics right now, which shouldn't have any bearing on the investigation, do you feel there is a time pressure on the FBI or the Justice Department to make a decision or when to bring forward a recommendation for an indictment given the primary calendar here?
I don't think that they should. The FBI should not be paying any attention, and knowing Jim Comey, who I've known for almost 30 years, I'm pretty sure that he would not let a political calendar dictate what he's doing. I mean, when the Justice Department investigates something, basically the only clock you're looking at is the statute of limitations, and you bring the case when it's ripe to bring. In this instance, though, I would point out that a classified information case is easier to investigate than other kinds of cases in the sense that the documents either are where they belong or they're not. They were either transmitted to people who shouldn't have had them transmitted to them, or they weren't. It's not a really much of a witness-dependent investigation as some are. So I'd expect them to, you know, come to a conclusion fairly soon.
Andy, obviously we'll all be watching. Thanks very much for your time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Greg. You too.
Andrew C. McCarthy is a former United States attorney. He is now with National Review and is the author most recently of Faithless Execution. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.